Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dear Dad and Beer podcast, hosted by my dad, the Beer Dad, the most awesomest dad around, Justin Allen, and his most awesome co-host, the master brewer himself, the brew, Joshua Kunkel. Grab a cold one, kick back and relax, and enjoy the show. Cheers, everybody.
Woman is a lot like a refrigerator. They're about 6 feet tall, 300 pounds. They make ice and... Oh, wait a minute. Actually, a woman is more like a beer. They smell good. They look good. You'd step over your own mother just to get one. But you can't stop at one. You want to drink another woman.
There it is. Always, every time it gets me. Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beer Dad and Brew podcast. As always, I am your host, the Beer Dad himself, Justin Allen, and I am joined by my awesome co-host, the Brewed Man. You heard it from my daughter, the Master Brewer himself. I know he gets mad when you say that.
Roll my eyes at it.
Joshua Kunkel. Joshua, we're joined here by Mr. Tons and Kettles, representing the Craft Lounge, our sponsors in Beaumont, California. Jimmy,
that's right.
We wish you were here, but we know you're here in spirit. But Brandon's here representing the Craft Lounge. Brandon, right, what's up, brother?
Right. Oh, nothing much, man. Let's do this.
All right. Well, Josh, why is the Beer Dad so happy right now? Why are we so excited?
Well,
so much energy tonight.
It started at 4 in the morning.
It did start at 4 in the morning.
Where the crickets were out and yeah, getting all jiggity, you know?
And ended it, you know, well, it's still going now, but
still going.
It started at 4 and it included actually a pretty awesome day in getting on an airplane and ending up in a wonderful location, you know.
Well, when you say wonderful, you are not kidding. We were joking, talking, and we're going to introduce him here in a second to a special guest of ours. When we were driving into this place, we were like little kids the first time you drive into like Disneyland or walk right into Main Street, and you're like, oh my God, like this. All right, I'm going to spill the beans. We are at B52 Brewing in Conroe, Texas, actually on site in Conroe, Texas. And let me tell you something, this brewery, you have to. This is a destination brewery. It really is. The area here, there's some nice places to stay. From what I'm told, there's a Margaritaville right down the street. And it's a resort, man. You can stay there, party, and then come over here. This place is awesome. Like it's like we took a brewery and we just like, let's put it in the middle of the forest and let's do that.
Right.
But just with the party lights as you're pulling in, I mean, this place is great. So, but at any rate, we are joined by Chris Gray from B52 Brewing. Chris, what's up?
What's up?
It's my long lost cousin.
Right?
Yeah.
Brandon Gray, meet Chris Gray.
There you go. Nice.
So, thanks for having us out here. This is really awesome. I'm really stoked to finally actually be here. I mean, I've been following B52 for a very long time on social media. It all started with, what was it? Rick and Morty beer that you guys made a long time ago.
Yes.
And I was like, dude, this place looks cool. And I look at the pictures. I'm like, that place looks awesome. And then friends out here, I'm like, oh yeah, that place is great, man. You gotta go check it out. And so we're finally here in person. So I'm pretty stoked to finally be here.
Totally. Thank glad you for having
you.
Us.
Yes. Glad to have you guys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this is great. What do you think, Josh?
I'm loving the vibe. It's like this like sort of backyard barbecue kind of like, hey, let's go out in the woods and have a kegger kind of like feel to it. And
for sure.
And yeah, I just, it's great.
Yeah. You know? Very relaxed, chill.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, you can't get any better than what, I mean, I'm just looking at it and I'm just thinking like my wheels are turning. I'm like, okay, let's see. We got an Oktoberfest that we could have here.
Yeah.
Just any fest in general, but it's a really cool location.
Well, of course, we're inside right now looking at all these like awesome barrels lining the wall here.
It just completes the
decoration.
Got a main tap room here as well as you guys have an outside a bar as well.
Yep.
I'm sure that's great when this place is packed. Cause,
for sure.
Yeah.
I wish we had one more, honestly.
Like, you're going to need one.
The lines during the weekend get pretty crazy.
I can imagine.
They move quick.
Yeah. Or how about when you guys do like your special releases and stuff like that? Does it get pretty crazy here?
It gets pretty crazy. Yeah. We usually get a line out the door, both bars.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is you got plenty of parking. I noticed that.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
For sure.
One thing that I always get irritated with, because most breweries, especially, well, you know, Southern California breweries, there's no parking anywhere.
Well, they're usually like in the back alley of a
yep
right
you know
well once again like I wish we had more, because when we have festivals and stuff, there's cars lining down the street.
Oh, wow.
There's cars parking like in ditches outside. And
that's awesome.
Anything to get here.
Yeah, we have to have someone just doing parking on those days because it gets nuts.
Wow. So, that's awesome.
It is. It's cool.
Oh, that's cool. Brandon, what do you think of this place?
Super dope. I'm going to live here.
We're moving.
Amongst the barrels, dude. Yeah.
Nice.
Just pull a cot up right here. Yeah, tap into one of these guys.
Yeah. Just be like the barrel hermit, you know what I mean? Yeah. You got to answer a couple riddles and shit, and then I'll give you some special release.
The troll. The barrel troll.
Yeah, exactly.
So with these barrels, I know that you guys just had a big barrel fest. Was it last weekend or weekend before?
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Yeah. Okay. And is that something that you guys do every year?
It is. Yeah. We didn't do it last year for obvious reasons, but we do it every single year. This year we had 53 barrel aged beers on tap. Tap in the house is a different beer, barrel aged.
That's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
I don't think I know any other breweries that have done something close to that.
Yeah. That's gnarly.
I mean, it pretty much consumes like 2 or 3 months of our lives. Because we're just every single day we're cranking out new beers. Yeah. Brewers are working overtime to get that thing going, and
sounds like a challenge. I mean, though. Yeah. 53.
Yeah, I mean we sold out like 600 tickets.
Wow.
So it's intense.
Obviously, I mean you're doing something right because they're coming. So
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, it's awesome. A good feeling for sure.
Of course. Speaking of doing something right. I keep smelling this amazing beer. Yeah.
Let's dive into a beer.
And I see this flight of wonderfulness in front of me.
About to swim in some citra right now. Right.
Yes,
and
exactly.
So it's very, very citra forward. I can smell it from here. Mm-hmm. But what I really appreciate about this beer is the name.
Yes.
I'm sure the beer is great, but for those of us that like, you know, go back in the day, and I just automatically think of Encino Man when I see this.
Yeah.
So we're about to have some B52 Wheeze the Juice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are shot glasses, right?
Yeah. 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 The label of this beer is actually Pauly Shore with his head underneath the smoothie tap, you know.
That's dope.
It's pretty cool. Nice. I might grab you one here in a little bit.
That's awesome. We'll get some pictures of that.
It's an all Citra pale ale. This beer was really created when Citra was making the huge, hit that it made when it first came out. I think that was around 2017, I believe, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it. Right now it's kind of like a yearly release. We're probably not going to have it all the time. We're kind of feeling it out. We did take it off of our lineup last year and then we just brought it back for you guys. Like,
Wheeze the Juice
3 weeks ago, something like that.
Nice.
So
I feel pretty honored because this is amazing right here. This is so crazy, dude.
This has literally been the style I've been focusing on for like a couple months now.
Yep.
And I'm really, really stoked on it. It's very good. And
I love Citra
hops.
I love that
funkiness. Me too.
That's good.
Yeah, I was going to say this.
Super clean, like just straight up Citra, you know?
Yeah, and you're definitely apt calling like pale ale because that's pretty much what you're getting here. You get just like that subtle bit of like sweet hop character, but then just a nice little malty, you know, finish there.
And enough of the nice, you know. We get the nice alphas on the tail end from the dry hop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Just clean.
Well balanced.
Yeah. Great job on that. And it's Ian, right? The head brewer here.
Yes, who is actually
banging it.
Who is actually in San Diego as you guys are here.
We literally cross paths.
Brewing with our homies. Yeah, Creative Creature.
Yeah.
Shout out to Derek.
We'll be looking forward to those beers now. I'm sure they're returning the favor. Are they coming out here to brew too?
We'll be talking about it
for
sure. Yeah, we haven't gotten to that point yet, but yeah, we're definitely talking about it.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're an awesome brewery. Like Brandon said, they're, you know, homies of the Craft Lounge. Totally. And if it wasn't for the Craft Lounge, I mean, not to say I'd never have Creative Creature, but it's a little far for us up there in the IE. And Jimmy was like one of the first shops to like really go big on Creative Creature in his in his bottle shop. And so
El Cajon, they're down there.
They're making a splash. They're making a splash.
Totally.
Definitely.
Yeah. They're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. I love a lot of their, you know, their pop culture references on their cans. They do, you know, fun stuff for like, you know, I saw Randon sent me a photo of the Star Wars release that they got coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff. And, what was it, the El Cajones? The hot balls.
The Mexican lager. Yeah,
yeah. I saw that.
The thing I like about them, too, is that they, like you guys, which I really appreciate, which I noticed, is that you focus on some of the like traditional styles. Like they do Schwarz beers and Doppelbock as well. Like you guys do like the oak. I saw a Doppelbock there. And
That's dope.
And that's why I grew up drinking.
Yeah, we like the legal age. We like to have a little bit of everything, you know, like you said, we're kind of a destination brewery. I mean, we get all sorts of people here, families, and then, you know, beer geeks from Houston. So we try to have something that everyone's excited about.
Nice eclectic bunch of styles. That's nice. Yeah.
A little something for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, earlier you gave us a preview of some stuff here and we had this Vienna Lager you guys did. That was just on point, clean, super malty.
It's outstanding.
So. Yeah, we had the, what do we have, Brandon? It's a hoppy Pilsner.
Is it Pilsner dry hop with Nelson Savant?
Yes, correct.
I really like that.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Yeah, like I was telling these guys, Nelson is the hop that like had to grow on me over time because, yeah, it's depending on what part of harvest, you get different characteristics. It's becoming one of my favorites now. Awesome. And you guys did a great job utilizing the hop. One of my favorite, I like lagered beer. So
So with Wheeze the Juice here, 5.5%, man. Talk about like just chilling out on that out there in the beer garden and just crushing those. Dude.
I could definitely shotgun one of these.
Oh, I would love. Brandon's our shotgun. So he shot. What did you shotgun that day on the St. Patty's Day episode?
Oh, on the juice.
St. Patty's on the
wild
juice
barrel.
Oh, nice. You know, most people shotgun a Coors Light or something. This guy's got an 8.4% hazy double IPA.
Well, dude, they were sitting there, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Got to do something with it.
Jesus. They're getting warm, man.
I think my shotgunning days are long, long behind me.
Mine are getting there.
Yeah. So this is a really, really good, good beer. What's next on tap here, Josh?
It's looking like we got Taeda.
Taeda, are we saying that right?
Yeah,
Chris?
Yeah. Okay. Taeda.
Taeda.
Yeah.
Tell us about this name.
So it's actually the name of the pine trees that we have out in our beer garden. So they're actually called Taeda trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so this beer was, it came aboard last year, I want to say around May or so. And we just created it because we really wanted to have like a house IPA. And we had never had that before. So we created Taeda as kind of like our house IPA. It's around all the time.
Okay.
It's just super refreshing, drinkable, complex.
Yeah, I was going to say definitely complex. Yeah. I mean, I could even get a little bit of like, you know, West Coast, you know, pine vibes going on
for sure,
which obviously matches with the name.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah. That was,
that's different.
That was part
Zaka
of it.
Hops,
I was going to say, but you also get a nice little juicy stone fruit kind of finish.
Right. Idaho 7 does that too.
Yeah.
Cashmere.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
What I like about that is how clean that one is. Like, there's a lot going on with the aroma, like pine, right? And then, like you said, with the stone fruit, but like, dude, man, rinse is so clean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gone. You know, that's good.
I mean, that's kind of what the standard we hold beer to is like this ability to just come at you full force,
us too.
That flavor, and then just
us too.
You know,
for sure.
It's done. It's gone.
Try that one, Johnny.
And then it just makes you want to go, let's dive in again.
Yeah. We, you know, like we're not really big on having the really like sweet cloying IPAs. Yeah. And so we like them to finish clean. We want you to want to take another sip and, you know, hopefully buy another beer.
I mean, that's where that balance equation comes in because you know, you obviously don't want it too piney or too hoppy or bitter.
Exactly. Right. Either.
Fluency, like the balance instead of literally like chewing on, which I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but, you know, a fluent beer is
right.
So now that we're sipping on, something that's, going to be a core beer for you guys now, and it's your pine trees. Tell us a little about B52. Cause we're here, little history. How long has this, brewery been here?
It'll be 7 years next month.
Nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so it was started by a family. It was two brothers who kind of, it was their brainchild. And they were in, I believe, Vietnam, trying to figure out what they wanted to call their brewery, and they were eating in a cafe that was built out of a B-52
That's awesome.
Bomber. And so they just said, why the hell not? And they just, we called it B-52, and, you know, the rest is history. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep.
And I know there was a story is one of the co-owners had passed away, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and then flash forward to now, how much has this place changed from when it did, when it opened 7 years ago till now?
A lot. So when they first started B-52, they were really kind of, I mean, you know, this was 7 years ago, so they were really coming out with what I, you know, what I think what we would call just standard options, you know, Pilsner, Saison, Stout, and Pale Ale, you know, and they quickly realized that the more creative they got and the more they broke boundaries and things like that with their beers, that the more excited people got, the more people came out. And so that's what they just started doing. They just started doing like one-off beers all the time. And it really put B-52 on the map of being probably the most creative brewery in Houston at the time. It got people to come from, because we are about 45 minutes north of Houston. So it got people out here to enjoy the beer garden, spend the day out here. And, you know, it's the beer styles have changed over time and everything, but everything's kind of developed pretty smoothly into what it is today.
I mean, it seems like you guys definitely kept up with the times, and you're definitely owning these styles that are, you know, kind of big name in the marketplace right now.
Right. Yeah.
So I would say definitely good job on that.
Cool. Thanks.
I mean, this is no exception right here. This is a great beer.
Awesome. And so tell us about your brewers.
So Ian is the head brewer. He's been doing it for about 6 months, and he, you know, he loves brewing like the traditional lagers, which is why we have a Schwartz beer Vienna lager as offerings right now. And, he does them very, very well, but he also likes to play around and just kind of do one-off stuff like the PB&J sour that we're going to try, and the grapefruit mango tahine smoothie tart that we're going to have. And he likes to explore those different flavors. He's very good at it. And then we have an assistant brewer named Steven. He's been with us for, I want to say, 4 months, I believe. And he he's, you know, pretty fresh, but he's been into craft beer for a long time, and he's kind of in the same spot. He wants to jump in and like try different flavors, see what works, see what doesn't. And them two together, it's just them two at the moment, and them two together have really, I mean, just with Barrel Fest having 53 beers on tap and keeping this lineup going that we have in front of us is that's hard work.
That's dedication. Not easy.
Exactly. So, I mean, props to them for making it happen, you know?
Yeah. And also just keeping up with the level of consistency we've been trying here.
We haven't had a bad one yet. So we're doing good far. Batting 3 for 3 if you count the pregame.
Yeah.
So, and then tell us about your position here, Chris. What do you do here at B-52?
So I'm my title is COO, and I pretty much manage the company top to bottom. So, nice. I mean, everything pretty much, you know.
So you wear just, like 150 hats, basically.
Just like every other employee here. Yeah, I mean, we all do. We're a small business, you know, and we're all doing stuff on a daily basis that was not in the job description. You know,
there's
Uncle Craig has arrived from his long journey. Awesome. And how long have you been here, Chris?
Let's see, 9 months. So June of 2020 was when I started.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm pretty fresh. I haven't even made it a full year yet. So
it's coming up.
It's coming up. Yeah. Coming up, it is for sure.
Well, I mean, I got to give you compliments, man. I mean, you got a clean you know, well-organized brewery here. So
thank you. I mean, that's our, we have really good employees. Oh, that's all I got to say about that.
The bartenders have been just kicking ass today, just knowing what to do and when to do it. And
So. Now you got a really, really cool place. I mean, to me, it's like, I don't know how, like, just driving in here every day, it's like, man, I got to go to work.
Dude, I was, like, so excited to see it, and I was, like, asking Chris, I was like, dude, what's up with, like, the wildlife around here? I feel like you could just, like, sit and, like,
deer come out,
see cool stuff.
Have a beer.
Yeah, plenty of like, deer. Raccoons and... I'm sure
we've got a family of armadillos.
Oh, nice.
We've got a family of raccoons. We've got deer. I mean,
do they like beer? That's all I want to know.
I bet they do.
They tend to like food truck food, I think, the most.
Well, I don't blame them. The empanadas. The empanadas outside were fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And so you have huge food trucks coming here from time to time, so you don't have to go anywhere. They'll have food here, but also I'm sure you guys allow people to bring food here.
Yeah,
too.
We do. Yeah, we have food trucks every day. I mean, it's extremely rare that we don't have a food truck Wednesday through Sunday. So.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah,
I mean, I know quite a lot of breweries that, you know, they're having to kind of stick to the weekends,
right?
You know, because it's just a little hard to schedule that kind of stuff.
We actually have to schedule two food trucks on Saturdays, or else they'll sell out.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then we have people upset, you know,
that's awesome.
That's
really cool.
Let's dive into this third one here, because
I'm so excited for this one, dude.
Let's get into it. So this is I hope you like Galaxy.
Correct.
Which we all do.
And if you don't, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know.
Starts with an F and ends with a U.
Joshua.
Oh man! Cheers!
Yeah. Cheers, guys!
Wow! Cheers. I think I got my favorite so
it's
far.
So good!
I already knew, dude. When I saw the pour, I was like,
"Wow!
Oh yeah!
Wow!"
I haven't even drank it yet,
Mr. Craig. Cheers, buddy. We got Mr. Craig here. He just showed up. He drove all the way down here from Branson, Missouri. So that's pretty awesome. Cheers, buddy.
Dope.
Yeah.
It's weird. I'm almost getting like a melon.
I mean,
it's like tripping me up.
Cantaloupe melon. Cantaloupe.
Yeah, that's damn good.
Yeah,
that's
pineapple.
That's good. Craig, try that. Wow.
Again, I like the consistency, man.
I would
not
crush that.
It's
what
not
are we
like? Crazy, like overflowing with
8.2.
Like 0.2. And like
I'd be in so much trouble with that beer.
You know, grain. It's very like.
I'd be in trouble
old
with that
school,
beer.
But like with that
right.
That brand.
It makes you want more. It makes you want more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's... Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so far, that's my favorite. Hope you like Galaxy 8.2%.
Oh, we do like Galaxy. We like this Galaxy.
Coming across with some passion fruit and citrus on there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I'm getting like the cantaloupe, the melon... A little bit of pineapple, you know, some of the, a little bit of dankness, you know.
Yeah, there
the
is a little bit of a dankness to it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all blended, just. Mm.
Galaxy has good that time. Nice, like herbal, kind of like
A little bit of mint,
character.
Even.
Yeah.
Like, just a touch of mint.
Yeah, shout out to Ian on that one. Yeah. Wow.
Dope.
Yeah.
And Steven.
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 Can't
forget
Steven.
Hey, don't forget about, I was one.
Well, and yourself too, because if it wasn't for you, they wouldn't be back there brewing. Course, so everyone does their part here at the brewery.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
The whole show.
Speaking of that, how about my good friend, Randon? What does Randon do? Because he's a man about town. He gets all over the place, but him and I hooked up on social media and kind of befriended each other over our love of craft beer and, he's the one that set all this up. So what's he do here?
So Randon is our self-distribution manager. So he's our one and only guy doing distribution right now. He does everything, delivers kegs, cleans lines, takes orders. I mean, maintains the van. Like, you know, like he does it. He does it all. And he's been doing it for about... He's been in that position for about 6 months or so.
Okay.
But he's been with B52 for much longer. And we just recently got our self-distribution rights back.
Nice.
And so we immediately just hit the ground running with Randon, and he is just absolutely kicking ass. And like
I'm seeing places pop up all over Texas carrying like with B-52. Yeah, and
exactly.
That's cool. Well, he's going to have to start getting across the state lines because I know Jimmy at the Craft Lounge would love to have B-52.
Yeah, okay. Dude, we would totally love to have you guys' stuff shop for sure.
Sorry, I don't mean you mentioned getting your rights back. Like, what happened with that?
We had a distributor, and we just decided that self distribution was the better route to take.
Okay.
And then so we got our rights back from our distributor, and now we're self distributing. It's a much better fit for us, especially with, you know, when we have 15 to 20 beers to offer.
Yeah.
That's hard for a distributor to keep up with.
Yes.
And when you're in self-distribution, you have way more control over how much goes out into the market. And
cleanliness and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And shelf life.
And just having full control over everything that's on the store shelves and knowing exactly how old it is or how much one account can buy and how much another account can buy. And just having full control over that process is so much better.
Yeah.
You know, it's so much better.
And I'm sure just the level of, you know, quality shines through with that.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of a couple of years ago, me and a buddy took a trip out to Providence, Rhode Island, and rented a car to go to Treehouse in Massachusetts. Right. And those guys don't distribute to anyone. Like, you have to go there.
Yeah, on site
only. And their big, like, ethos was, like, we want to have like ultimate control over the quality of what you're drinking. So I understand where that need comes from.
Right.
Especially if you are having to put your trust in, you know, a distributor that maybe not prioritize, you know, your stuff.
I mean, they have other brands that they prioritize, you know, and it's just a lot better for everyone when we can sit down every single morning and look at the beers that we can sell, and we can maybe pull stuff from Randon and give it to the tap room or vice versa. And we can literally do that the day of, and it makes it so much easier for us.
Right.
Nice. And your quality control is on point.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the key. I think
the big one.
Yeah. 100%.
Because, you know, now you're not relying on some distribution service who you don't really have not that you have to have a close watchful eye on Randon, but like, you know,
there's not that much love associated. No. You know what I'm saying?
So no, because like, it's like, okay, what brewery, you know, squeaks the wheel, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
Like, so, oh, okay, I've got like seven breweries that I handle.
Exactly.
And this brewery takes care of me, and this brewery's, they're nice to me, but maybe they don't kick down with all this stuff. Right. So it's like, maybe I'll move you guys up here and do a little better facing over here. Totally. When you're in control of it, it's so much better. Yeah.
Right.
The growth is slower that way.
Right.
But that's okay for us. Like, we sell plenty of beer through our tap room, you know? Yeah. So distribution is just kind of like another cherry on top. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Well, and like, who wouldn't want to come here and hang out in this awesome like beer garden?
Oh, you know, I love getting beers sent here. So, the first, beers that I had, from here and what got us started, I think we were way like, barely started. So a good friend of mine that lives in the Houston area, Drake, I don't know if you know him, Drake Jeffro, he came up here and grabbed some beers for us. He's big in the craft beer scene.
Yeah, I recognize the name, but I don't know if I've met him.
Kind of looks like Denzel Washington, a little bit tall, really good looking dude. Not going to lie. But he's such a cool guy, and he got us hooked on Houston craft beer. I would have never in a million years. I would have never in a million years said Houston's where it's at for craft beer. You know, obviously because we're so close to San Diego, the craft beer capital of the world.
Dude, and shout out to LA. I'm gonna say LA is
doing good
right now.
Yeah, yes. I mean, true. So SoCal, we're pretty spoiled in SoCal. So it's like, oh, Houston, huh? You know, you hear about Portland and all these other places, but man, there is some fire here in Houston.
Like, I think I really think that stems from the fact that Houston is one of the biggest restaurant hubs in the world.
There you go. Yeah.
One of the biggest and best like variety of food from other countries and things.
Yeah.
In Houston, and I think that really kind of helped pave the way and inspired a lot of different breweries to come here.
Sort of pushing that envelope as far as like the flavors and the combinations of things.
You got some. So other than B52, I know because we're here featuring you, but I know that breweries like to show love to other breweries.
Right.
What, as far as for you, what other breweries do you recommend in the area, Houston, Conroe areas?
So one of the breweries that you're going to see, Baba,
of
course. Yeah. And then I know you're also going to see Urban South.
Yep.
And you're going to see are you seeing Ingenious?
We're
going
to try to stop by on the way back.
Okay.
So we'll see if we make it there or not.
They're all good. Right here close to us, I mean, we have, like Southern Star, they're kind of our neighbors.
Yeah.
We've got Lone Pint that's pretty close to us, and they make Yellow Rose, which is a very, probably the most well-known IPA in Texas, maybe.
That's funny you said that.
Possibly.
I was next to a middle-aged couple, and they were telling me how much they loved that Yellow Rose.
Yes.
And like these are people who, like, they were like, yeah, St. Arnold, that's our brewery. Uh-huh. And I was like, right on, that's awesome. But then they were like, yeah, but Yellow Rose. So for you to say that, like coming from you,
and those guys are awesome. Like they are some of the coolest people. So highly recommend going to check them out. And Yellow Rose is an outstanding beer. It lives up to the hype. Okay. Yeah,
it sounds like you have a really supportive community, like all around, which is awesome.
Yeah, extremely.
One thing that I saw that was really cool is like you guys got your. We'll use some colorful language. Asses handed to you this winter, and I noticed that all the breweries came together hey, if you need water, come get water from us because we still have running water.
Awesome.
You guys all came together. Didn't matter about profits or anything like that. Just helping the communities, and that was really cool. So,
That's kind of the ethos of the whole beer and specifically craft beer movement. You know, they do want to be kind of in their community and connected with that community because most of the people are from that community. You know? It's that kind of give and take relationship, which makes to me kind of a special, you know, concept
for sure
in and of itself.
For sure.
So, we're still talking here, we're going to crack into another beer.
Yeah.
This is going to be the phased out black IPA, right?
This is the one I'm actually kind of interested in myself.
We're going old school with this one, like old school.
Well, this has been, this was early on one of my favorite styles.
Right.
Just because.
Me too.
You get this like nice roasty note from the chocolate malts, and then you get that nice little piney or kind of maybe a semi-citrusy from
It's
from the hops.
Black IPA style, the genre, is what got me, not to say back into IPAs, but remember, I didn't like IPAs at one point. And this is before New England and hazy and all
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because, you know, well, you worked for Stone, so you know how hoppy and bitter, you know, West Coast style can be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there were good ones. I just hadn't had them yet. But I had a black IPA, and for the life of me, I still can't remember the first one I had. And I was like, because I love stouts and porters.
Sublimely self-righteous, maybe.
Like Stone.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. They mentioned that. I was going to, once we were talking about this, I was going to say, like, that's one of the very
that
first ones I ever had. And they just brought it back.
Yeah,
which
I
is
know.
Really cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Everybody's going crazy.
Well, that's right. That's what Chris was telling us. So another Chris, he's the
Stone
Rep
for Craft Lounge.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's been on the show with us. He's a good guy. He actually, funny story, a podcast world, podcast realm, one of the most popular craft beer podcasts, which is technically still around, but it's not the same. But he was a part of it when it was the number one craft beer podcast, the Beer Geek Radio.
That's right.
And so now he's a rep for Stone. So he's been very supportive of us, and I know he'll be listening. So what's up, Chris? I promise we won't talk about wrestling. I promise. He hates that.
He does, and sorry, dude.
we just, it brings back our childhood. That's all.
Your Rudy Poo candy ass.
There kidding. You go. He's so mad at you right now. But back to this beer. This is really, really good.
This one's tripping me on. I think it might be the Chinook, which I have to say I'm not too familiar with as a hop. I have to kind of dig into it a bit more.
Yeah,
but
spicy,
floral. Yeah, I'm getting like some big, pine, almost lemon pine. Notes actually coming off of it. Which is kind of tripping me up. I mean, I know
it's got Centennial, which does have a lemon note to it.
Centennial is usually like grapefruit for me, and Cascade kind of in the same vein. Maybe a little bit of Oh wait, that's cluster. I'm thinking of sorry. I'm thinking black currant, but
yeah,
that's good.
But this yeah, is really good.
That's like a hoppy coffee. That's what that is.
I think you're right about like a little bit of that herbal, maybe a hint of mint in there,
and roasted barley.
Yeah,
am I getting that?
Yeah,
on the grain bill.
There is roasted barley in it. Yeah, yeah.
That's good. I can point that malt, specialty malt out anytime.
Yeah.
Well, it gives you that like big coffee almost.
That almost like that cold brew kind of like bitiness.
So
maybe a little Carafa too.
Everything that you have on the tap right here now, what's the most popular that you've noticed? I mean, I'm sure you do like inventory control and all that and kind of monitor.
So Wheeze the Juice is probably our most bought beer that we have. Which is kind of a no-brainer because it had a huge following when it went away, and then we brought it back and everyone was super stoked about it. After that one, number two is probably the Smoothie Tart Grapefruit Mango Tajine. We got a massive like response when we announced that we were releasing this beer, and like people are going nuts over it. So that's the next one we've got.
Well, it's just gonna say it's right up on our
it's essentially like what you know, the whole name there is Smoothie Tart Grapefruit Mango Tajin.
Yeah.
So wild, something that's huge for us in Southern California, micheladas. Yes. Shout out to Muñeca's Michelada Mix, our homies.
Hugo and Ceci.
Right? Hugo and Ceci, great people. They make probably some of the best michelada mix I've ever tasted.
Super dope.
We'll see if we can send some out to you guys and see if you like it.
Well, I was going to say their original bold and spicy is like liquid bacon.
It's just, dude.
Nice. Delicious.
And they make these tahine and the chamoy gummies. Like they do like with the the peach rings. They do like Sour Patch Kids. The watermelon.
Watermelon
slices are nuts.
Yeah.
It was sometimes we're at the Craft Lounge and just drinking all night, and all of a sudden we're like, hey, look at all those Muñeca's candies over there.
And we dump it out on a paper plate.
Just eat, we all tear it up.
Just pick off of it. It's awesome.
You're like, oh, no wonder my stomach's all tore up the next day. I'm like, I ate all that candy.
Between that and all the Dominoes that me and Jimmy.
Don't forget Baker's. A lot of Baker's.
Yeah.
Baker's too. Yeah.
Man.
Shout out to Baker's. When you were in SoCal, did you ever get to a Baker's at all? It's mostly Inland Empire.
I don't think I did. No.
That's mostly Inland. I don't even
love it.
I don't think I've ever seen one even near San Diego.
North County.
I like to piss a lot of listeners off because I tell them Baker's is better than In-N-Out Burger.
Well, hey. In Baker's defense, well, in your defense, I should say, Baker's has burritos, so yeah, and tacos, so In-N-Out ain't got
the
none
first
of that
twin
shit.
Kitchen in Southern California, 1955, I think they opened. Yeah.
Man, I do miss the burritos, man.
Oh yeah,
dude, we were talking. I was telling Johnny, my cousin here that came and picked us up from the airport. We're going to stay away from Mexican out here because I know that there is nothing like what we have in SoCal
He told us not to. He's like, nope.
And that's a local. He's a local of San Antonio, Texas.
But it's just different. It's just different Mexican food, you know? Like
Tex-Mex kind of.
Yeah, like when we just moved to San Diego, we kind of felt the same way. But over time, we kind of just developed the palate for that style of Mexican food, and it was just as good, you know.
Yeah,
and it's kind of the same thing with In-N-Out and Whataburger, you know.
Yeah, yeah. A little rival,
you know.
Me and Justin,
we saw the Whataburger right out the airport. We need a burger.
Yeah exactly. Hell yeah, so dude. They're both burgers, but they're made completely differently.
Right.
And when people argue about which one's better, I will eat either of them, you know, like it just depends on my mood.
I'd like to throw this out here. I don't know if a lot of people know what a Freddy's Steak Burger is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes, we've got them.
So I would have to say that's my favorite out of it. I'll throw them in there too. And I would say I like Freddy's over both of those places.
This is Freddy's Frozen Custards, right?
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, the good burgers.
Excuse me. Fuck yeah. Freddy's and the Frozen Custard. And the thing I like the most is their shoestring potatoes and... Yeah. They have that spread, so it's like In-N-Out, you know, spread or whatever, but it's jalapeno. Who doesn't like jalapenos, right?
No, right.
It's fucking amazing.
I haven't had one, so I'm going to check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of jalapenos, talking about pepper, we started our morning today at the airport parking lot with a Chavela from Desert Beer Company, where we did our last episode. Shout out to Devin.
Yeah. Who does also a Cascadian dark ale himself. That's pretty on point.
Awesome.
So
awesome brewery out in Palm Desert.
Yes, Palm Desert.
And not La Quinta.
Not La Quinta, yes.
Get it right.
But yeah, we drank that Chivella this morning. And so the beer, the base, was a pepino con chile. Yeah. So it had habaneros and peppers. Do you guys ever do anything with peppers here?
I think they did do some things with peppers in the past, but since I've been here, we haven't really played around with peppers all that much. They're kind of, I don't know, like they're kind of a hard sell sometimes, a pepper beer. So we haven't really done a whole lot with peppers. Okay. Actually.
I get that. It's kind of hard to say like I just got off work. And I'm one of those weirdos. I really want a beer. It's like, oh, I'm just going to choke down a pepper.
I'm one of those weirdos that it sounds good to me at any given time. Yeah.
No, I get it. Like, I get like
the habanero Sculpin from Ballast Point, the first version of it was great.
That beer was awesome.
Yo, I remember being at Petco right behind home plate, you know, where all of the, by the way, Padres fans.
Nice.
We don't have our hats on.
No, I'm
I'm like, wait.
I'm so used to pointing at my head. Yeah. And yeah, right. Anyway, but back behind home plate, there's a bunch of different vendors, a bunch of like San Diego brewers. And I remember they had two taps, and one of them was original Sculpin, and then the other one was the habanero. And I remember they accidentally gave one to this lady who ordered a regular Sculpin, and they gave a habanero one to her, and she was like freaking out. She's like, why did you give this to me? And they're like, the lady's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, do you still want to drink it? And she's like, I guess.
Wow.
So she got lit up.
There you go.
Yeah. Awesome. I don't know. I've always, I'm one of these guys where like chili peppers normally just screw me up by themselves, but in a beer, they somehow just take on a whole new wonderful thing, you know.
And that beer was a sour. Right, it was a Berliner.
I think it's a kettle sour. Yeah, that he does. But he also throws a cucumber into it.
Oh, nice.
So it's a cucumber with, I think it's Serrano, habanero, and jalapeno. So it's got a little bit of a kick.
Sounds
to it.
Good.
But it actually, the cucumber helps really kind of like smooth over the heat, you know.
Right.
Kind of give it almost like a refreshing taste. But he typically makes that beer specifically because a lot of people ask for it mixed in the Chivella mix.
Oh, okay.
Or they get a rim with the chamoy and stuff, and they have it that way. You know, not too many people usually like drinking it by itself. And I, you know, like what you said, you know, there's not that much of a demand for it. So with him, it's the same way. He just has to kind of throw that extra little, I hate to use the word gimmick, but that's kind of what it is. Yeah. You know, just, you know, that little extra cell in there.
Right.
But people, you know, they eat it up, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all there'll be a little bit of pepper in here if there's tahini.
Yeah, yeah, man. That's what, speaking moving of on.
All,
yeah.
the, so all these spices.
We're completely changing directions right now.
This,
yeah, dude.
I'm stoked for this.
Yeah.
I can definitely smell
it. And then we're going to drop off. But still in the same realm, though.
These are all
sour
beers.
Yeah,
these are all sours. Right. Yeah. Yep. But this one is it's our smoothie tart series, which we've been doing for quite a while. I mean, I think it started in like 2017, maybe something like that. And this is grapefruit, mango, and tahine. And it's just like it sounds, you know, tons of fruit, tons of tahine.
I took a drink of it already, and oh my God, I love tahine. I'll put that crap on my scrambled eggs. Mm-hmm. I mean, the wife just found this big old, not the Ceci and Hugo size that get from Mexico, but I got
jug.
The Costco size. And that lasts me a couple months, but I scrambled eggs. I put it a lot of times in my beer. I mean.
So you should have seen us strolling through Sam's with tahine.
They're probably like, what are these guys doing?
There's a lot of tahine coming out of Sam's right there. But
no, this is really, really good. Actually,
yeah, lots of stuff going on there.
Yeah, as we say, the tahine first and foremost is just boom.
It really is like one of those Mexican candies, though.
Yeah,
you know, like
very,
that is
very,
like
very, very much so.
Yeah. I'm actually reminded of like Lucas a little bit.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you get like the mango suckers, you know, with like the
chili on it. Uh huh. That's pretty much what we were going for, and Ian pretty much nailed it.
So this is like the Devin at Desert Beer. He has a beer called Mexican Candy, and it's the watermelon version of this.
Oh, nice.
So those little suckers we used to get on the ice cream truck, you got the mango one with the chili, which is exactly what this tastes like. I mean, crazy.
You get a watermelon sucker, and then a bootleg DVD and a dime bag.
Right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, the ice cream man. He's a shady character.
He just knew how to hook it up, man.
Nice.
And a bomb pop or whatever, like a Choco Taco, whatever you're into.
It's funny you say that, because I swear the ice cream truck is where we got the Pamela Anderson Playboy from.
What?
Yeah, I swear. I'm pretty sure that's where it came from.
Used or new?
Yeah.
I think it was new. It was still in the plastic.
See, sadly, the ice cream trucks around my place weren't interested in women. or adults, for that matter.
That's scary.
They got popped pretty hard. So, two in a row, actually. It was kind of,
don't go to Josh's after that neighborhood.
Everyone's like, don't
stay out of the desert.
Yeah, stay away from the ice cream people. Yeah.
Wow, that one's good. B52 Brewing. Definitely. If you want something that's unique and full of like all kinds of like slappy in the face flavor.
Yeah.
Smoothie tart grapefruit mango tahine.
That's even just like light. I mean, imagine if it gets like a little hot out here. I mean, this is probably flies off the shelf.
That's how we made it. We just released it last week. So that's why we made it.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's good.
Very good. And it's almost like you made a Mitchie without having to put the Mitchie mix in there.
Exactly. We actually had a Michelada Pils during Barrel Fest.
Ooh,
yeah.
Sick.
We took that, our Pilsner and we aged it on oak and then just added Michelada on it. And it was like a Michelada out of the tap. It was good. It was awesome.
That'd be good.
People went nuts over it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll bet.
It was fun.
Yeah. Micheladas are hugely popular for us in Southern California.
Totally.
Yeah.
Everywhere, man.
I think if you just sit at any bar, I would say probably 1 in 5 people order a Michelada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they should be served in a schooner, just saying.
Yeah. I want my beer in a goblet.
Yeah, dude. OG style, man. That's how we drink them when we're like 12 years old and whatnot.
Because I noticed in the last couple of years, it's really blowing up, at least in Southern California, with the whole Micheladas and stuff like that. I just remember when I first moved out to the desert, almost nowhere did I see it. And then just a couple years in, like everywhere I went, like, give me one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, started with like the sushi places or, you know, with some of the bars out there.
Yeah.
And then when the place started getting more of the craft breweries popping up, that was like one of their little sticks to kind of get people in through the door.
Right.
You know? So,
awesome. Wow. That was good. So the last three have been bangers for me. I don't know about you gentlemen, but that one, just for the uniqueness and the there's so much flavor going on with it, just different. I really enjoyed that. And of course that black IPA was good. And of course, so far I still have it circled. Hope you like Galaxy. It's my favorite so far.
Yes.
However, this next one.
Yeah.
When it got released, I told Rand, I said, you better have some when I get there. He's like, oh, we'll have some. It'll be fine. Because you guys know that I love peanut butter and jelly sours. Like, that's my jam. That's the beer dad's jam.
Literally.
Exactly. Literally.
Pun intended.
Pun intended. Yeah.
So, I'm stoked to try this. This is the, super smoothie PB&J by B52 Brewing. This is a fruited, Berliner Weiss with peanut butter and jelly, in it.
And it's 10%.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me look at the 10% ABV. Okay, peanut butter and jelly smoothies, you know, 7, 6, 5, around 10.
I like how you noted that as like a style. Like most peanut butter jelly.
Yeah, right.
Like it's like a, do they have that in the BJCP?
It has not been put in there yet.
Not yet.
No. Maybe they'll have a beer dad section. There's like peanut butter and jelly.
Dude, that'd be so dope. You're like the only judge.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, first and foremost, this thing is smooth, like super smooth, especially for 10%.
Yeah.
And
wow. All right, there's the crazy part for me is when I look at it, it doesn't look any different than as far as the viscosity of any other beer we just drank.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get it in there, heavy, heavy mouthfeel, super thick.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't look thick. And the peanut butter, oh, man. It doesn't have that like generic fake peanut butter flavor either.
Right.
What do you think, Brandon? You're like staring at it.
No, like I'm just like just thinking about. So you guys use because I know some places use real peanut butter, but I know a lot of places use PB2, and so I don't know if you guys use PB2 like powdered peanut butter.
We use PB2. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's just cool because every beer that I've had PB2 in, like from stouts to sours to whatever experimental beers, like it always tastes different. So that's why I'm just like kind of tripping on it. I'm like, man, it just tastes so much different in this base, mm-hmm. along yeah. with, 10%. I'm guessing you use fruit puree.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I get mm-hmm. the, I get puree. The fruit first and then the peanut butter,
right.
Like the finish.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's, and then, yeah, just clean. You know, damn.
Plum puree.
Yeah,
wow. That's dope.
It's plum.
I like
yeah.
that. That's
yeah,
cool.
It's plum.
I was trying to put my like put my finger on it. I was like, it's either got to be like, usually mm-hmm. it's like raspberry or strawberry or, you know, whatnot. But plum is
what,
a very
What made you guys
choice.
Go with plum? Out of curiosity.
Well, we kind of wanted to change it up. So there's a couple other breweries who have done peanut butter and jelly beers. And we kind of just wanted to do something different. And so we decided to do like a plum jelly rather than like a grape jelly.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really good mix. That's a really good combo, actually, because I'm used to seeing, like you said, with the other breweries, like either like a strawberry or some sort of raspberry, which to me almost screams too tart, you know?
Right.
And this one is actually that it's like that sucrose sweetness that you get with the peanut butter. And it's like a really good combo.
Right.
Because me, I'm not a big fan of peanut butter and jelly in general. Like, I'm either like all peanut butter guy or all jelly kind of guy, but this hits the mark really well.
Yeah, we kind of hit like right in the middle where it's not too much peanut butter.
Yeah,
which is where we were trying to hit that, and I think Ian did a great job at hitting just the right amount of peanut butter.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Damn.
The thing I like the most about this is that you can actually tell that you're drinking a sour. I like that. That like the, I don't know what yeast you use, if it's like lactobacillus or if you're doing like, it doesn't taste like any wild yeast strains, but.
Yeah, we're actually using sour yeast.
Oh, just
yeah,
using,
we're not kettle souring. Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Nice. That makes sense because, dude, like, it reminds me of the OG sours that I grew to love, like the barrel aged sours. So
yeah, I mean
that's what I really appreciate about it.
Kettle souring has taken up many hours and days of my professional career.
I bet.
And when the sour yeast came out, I pretty much immediately jumped on it. And I was like, this is going to relieve so many headaches with production. Like, you know, taking up the kettle for multiple days at a time. Yeah. I mean, it's just really totally unrealistic when you're trying to scale, it. Like, we couldn't even double batch.
Yeah.
And so when we started experimenting with the sour yeast, we basically just like, I think we brewed a batch of smoothie tart and we were just like, well, here it goes. And Ian nailed it like first try. He got it just right. And that relieved so many headaches for us. And now we can double batch smoothie tart and super smoothie. And,
well, and also you talked about earlier,
it's a game changer.
You guys are like brewing like crazy for that barrel fest. I mean,
exactly.
That leaves not much room for anything else. So that's kind of cool. That worked out for you.
For sure. Yeah.
And is you said this is just a general sour yeast that you picked up on the market?
Yeah, sour VCA from Lallemand.
Lallemand? Oh, yes. That one's pretty new, isn't it, on the market?
They're all very new.
Yeah.
They're all very new, and they all have their own little quirks.
Yeah.
This is the best one that we found on the market. And so after looking into it, I did all the research and everything like that and checked it out, and it checked all the boxes, so we gave it a shot, and it's expensive, but, you know, we're saving a whole day of production time.
It kind of balances it out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I remember
space.
I remember talking to those guys in 2019 at a homebrew convention they went to, and they were mentioning they were just putting the final touches on that one, that yeast, and sounded pretty awesome. And I think they're also working on a Brett strain as well, like where they're going to powder it and give you the dry
version, really?
Like a Brett.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. Really?
They got that one in the pipeline as well.
Interesting. Wow.
I'd be curious to see how that plays out.
Interesting. That'd be cool. Yeah, I'm all about dry yeast, man.
Oh, yeah. It's come so far in recent years. I know, you know, kind of back.
10 years ago, it was you wouldn't need to touch this stuff. But now it's
better. It's one of those things where I always found the dry yeast had better, like, production, meaning, like, you get more yeast count. you know, cell count and stuff like that. But your options were very limited on like what you could do.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, not having the scheduling requirements of using liquid yeast is a game changer for us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like we can order yeast in bulk whenever we need it rather than having to time our brew out and then, you know, hopefully everything lines up and we can actually brew that beer in time that the yeast is still good. And like, you know, not having to deal with that is... It opens up a lot of doors for you, you know,
because
you can pivot and do other things that you couldn't do before.
Yeah. And actually, once we're done with the lineup here, I have a beer I wanted to showcase to you that was actually made with Sofla, the 3470.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
You know, and that is another yeast. For me, that's been a game changer, especially as a homebrewer making lagers.
Right.
Is, you know, in that sense of the word, it's one of the harder styles to make.
Yeah.
But I was just surprised at how much this yeast like blew through the beer in like 4 or 5 days, you know, as a lager at 50 degrees, you know,
yeah.
I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I still ran it through the diacetyl just because I was like, okay, let's just do this and see what happens and then cold crash it. And, you know, I'll let you be the judge and tell me how it came out. So,
All right. Well, wow, that was good. Brandon, what did you think of that one?
Do you guys have this to go?
Yes. I've seen the cans over there.
Oh, okay. We've got cans.
Definitely taking this home.
Cool.
Awesome. It's really good.
I feel like it's really nice, man. Like I said, I really appreciate it because it reminds me of the old school barrel-aged sours that I grew to love when I was growing up. Oh, you know, drinking craft beer. Not growing up like when I was a kid, but
yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean?
I may have to tell Devin about like, these, man, because
I think it's fantastic. Like and it's cool because every sip or every drink, it kind of evolves. It's nice.
Really, really good. I just like the mouthfeel on it because I was not expecting that at all. Not at all. I was like, oh, it's going to be like a, you know, kettle sour. It's going to be nice and light.
Well, that's the thing is kettle sours, I hate to say, they're kind of unidimensional, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a one and done.
They all taste the same.
They all have that same like base kind of flavor to them. Whereas when you get into those traditional sours, there's so many nuances and like layers to the flavor and everything like that. And I mean, this is no exception right here. You know, it's, you can get that clear peanut butter, that clear plum, you know, the clear tanginess from the sour and then, you know, everything down the line.
It's good.
Really good.
This one's definitely the most complex out of all that I've tried so far.
There's a lot of layers to it for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. All right. Well, we got the last one here in the lineup before Josh brings out some homebrew. This one's crazy. Tart After Dark.
This one actually piqued my interest because I love almond and
cherry, chocolate, and almond.
Yeah, cherry, chocolate, almond. Like three buzzwords that just get my attention right there.
That's so crazy. Yeah. So this is going to taste like a cordial cherry?
That's kind of what we were going for. Okay. Yeah, that was kind of the inspiration behind it for sure. Again, we just wanted to do something different with the whole kettle sour. Well, you know, kettle sour.
Yeah.
We decided we wanted to do a dark sour, and we knew that maybe people wouldn't be too sure about it. But we, you know, threw like loads of cherry puree in it and chocolate and then, you know, almond, and that's what we get. Well, and it all plays together, you know, it's almost a little bit of a mind fuck. When you see this beer, you don't really expect what you're going to be drinking.
So the aroma and the first initial sip, I'm like, okay, I'm drinking a stout. And then it hits you with the tartness of the cherry.
Right.
So this is good. This is really freaking good.
Yo, I think out of all the sours that we've had, out of those three, I think this one's like.
You like that?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, because.
It's right in my eye.
This is another like one of those ones that's layered itself like perfectly.
Yeah.
Because you get that cherry, you get that roastiness.
Yeah.
Then you get a little bit of that chocolate at the end, and then it just finishes with that almond.
Yeah, yeah.
Just boom, 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 done. Yeah. And then cling, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Crazy talk right there.
Yes.
Tart After Dark.
No. Damn good job with this one. I'm thoroughly impressed with
this.
Thank you.
Hopefully this is the first of the series.
Hopefully. Okay. The Tart After Dark
series, yes.
Okay. Definitely off with a bang.
Yeah, right? We want to do more of this. So this is kind of our first shot at it, and we've got a couple things we want to tweak, but for the most part, it's pretty much there.
I don't know.
I would say blueberry chocolate and pecan might do well.
You might be seeing that.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. Actually,
how did you know?
I'm just pulling stuff out of my head. Yeah. You know?
Actually, the part thing that came to mind is like this in Calvados barrels.
Yeah.
They just up the game.
Yeah.
Get a little nice, like, little apple bite to it.
Right.
You know what I've been seeing?
That is so good.
As far as, like, nuts go, I've been seeing pistachio a lot in beer, and I like that a lot. I think that would...
I've only had one, and I couldn't taste pistachio.
Really?
So oh, bummer. I was bummed out a little bit.
It's funny you mentioned pistachio, because up in Santa Rosa, my fiance and I went to this little sushi place, and at the end of dinner, they gave us this dessert, and it was... have you ever had Thai iced tea before?
Thai iced tea? I think I have.
Like the creamy.
Yeah, with the cream.
Yeah.
And the sugar.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they made a Thai iced tea ice cream,
mm-hmm.
and then they had like pistachio dust on it. And for some odd reason, that combination was just like fucking, like you said, mind fuck. Like,
sounds awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, it was just like, food for thought, you know?
Yeah. Kind of thing. Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. They also had some frozen raspberries in there, but they didn't quite do so well as that combination.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
this is good. Really good.
Yeah.
Right, well, Thank you very much.
Before we finish that, let me go grab a bottle. I'll be right back.
All right. Yeah.
If you don't mind getting the surprise as well.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, nice. Grab some glasses.
Yes. Yeah, for everybody to try the surprise.
So, yeah.
And the homebrew.
Joshua, let them try some too.
Yeah. The bartenders. Yeah. For sure.
They would love to try it.
And the gentlemen.
The gentlemen in the corner.
Pour some out for the barrels, too.
The gentlemen in the corner are Mr. Craig from Bearded Beaver Man Brew House, soon to open.
Yeah.
Hollister, Missouri. What's up?
Nice.
Thanks for driving down. And Johnny, thanks for driving down from San Antonio and being our D&D / photographer, videographer.
Hell yeah.
Keeping us in line, making sure we don't get too crazy down here in Houston. Thank you. Yeah. So Josh is going to grab some good over here, it looks like. Oh, God. Anytime I see bottles, like,
yeah,
it takes me back to our back-to-back shows that we did, Stout Season and Christmas episode, and I'm just like, oh boy. All right. So what do we have here, Josh? What are we cracking first?
All right. Well,
homebrew.
We'll do some homebrew because I'll let Brandon introduce the next bottle after this. Since that one's going to probably steal the show here by the end of the night. But
No.
It's a good beer, but let me go and get this one peeled away.
You need a knife? I'm sure Craig's probably got his knife on him.
I meant to bring mine, but I forgot that. Oh, hold on. I got it.
You got it?
You can let go, Brandon. Oh,
here's a knife right here in case you need it.
Well, I have one I usually keep with me. This thing's pretty good. All right. It's almost like wax.
All right, so what do we got here, Josh? What are you pouring?
So this is...
This is the famous
Kunkel Dunkel, as I'm calling it.
Nice.
So Kunkel is my last name, and for a couple of years, Justin here and Jimmy from the Craft Lounge kind of hounded me, and they're like, hey, man, it's your last name. You got to make a Dunkel, man.
You have to do it. You're obligated, you know?
Yeah, you're pretty much, you don't have a say in it at that point.
There he goes, sir.
Ooh. Smells like Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's tasty.
Thank you.
It's very good.
No, I force carbed this one, so, yeah. I don't actually do very many natural carbs anymore once I figured out how to do the force carb. You go, Doug?
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
So there's the Kunkel Dunkel. We'll say cheers to Jimmy out at the Craft Lounge who couldn't be with us because someone's got to run the joint.
That's right.
I can just picture him right now, like a line out the door going, God damn it, Brandon's in Houston right now and doing all this work.
I know, dude. You know, it's all good, man. I'll be back. Crank out beers for the fine folks in Beaumont, California.
We'll be bringing home some stuff, too.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You know, make them happy.
Yeah, this one threw it together. It was, I'm most happy because this is the second time I made it, and the consistency's been the same.
Oh, nice.
From first to second batch. Yeah. So I'm
that's a relief.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I always tell people as a home brewer, that's my pinnacle right there. Right. Is if I can replicate something and have the same consistency, then I know I'm doing something right.
Right.
You know? Because I think most guys can make a good batch of beer, but if they only do it once in a while.
Then right.
I just like it because, well, we talked about it before when you made it the first time. You know, I like my dark beers, and when it's hot and it's the summertime, you can't really drink dark beers too much.
Mm-hmm.
This right here, you can drink this all day long.
Yeah.
And still get those nice coffee notes. And
yeah. I almost felt this one had a little bit of plum in it as well.
It definitely does. Yeah. And, you know, I actually really like, I haven't had a Dunkel in a very long time. So it's refreshing to have one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's only 4.9, so just a nice, easy drinker, not here to get anyone, you know, screwed up.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You'll have to shoot the recipe over here, and they can make a Dunkel for Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah, this one, so I end up, it's not in the most traditional sense, a Dunkel, so mm-hmm. grain bill on this one's like Pilsner malt, special roast, a little bit of rye, and... was it Carafa 2 and Black Prince?
Okay.
If you're familiar with the
yes,
malts.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty much like the grain bill. And then it's, at least the hops are traditional. I did a Mittelfra, you know, Tettnager, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that 3470 soft liquor.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That stuff is a beast.
It is.
Use. But I love it.
It's spot on.
Oh, yeah.
It really is spot on. So.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised because to me, special roast is a really good supplement for like melanoidin because it has little hints of it along with like the biscuit.
Yeah. But it's not too much.
Yeah. It's not too much.
It doesn't take over the beer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've always loved that malt just unto itself because it had that nice little biscuit note, but it also had little hints of the, you know, melanoidin and kind of tanginess
mm-hmm.
in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I love using it for just like everything.
Right.
As much as I can get away with it at least.
Yeah.
So rye is another one too, but yeah.
Mm. We know how rye affects the beer, Dad.
Yes.
I know. Yeah. So I actually have an allergy to rye.
Oh, really?
But it's very subtle, and it depends on... So usually the brewing process seems to like almost get rid of my allergy, but there's been a couple times where I've gotten caught.
I'm sorry, dude. I totally didn't even think about that when I picked
you're good.
This out.
No, you're good.
Well, if they do the mashing right, I think it should convert the rye down.
This beer has been in barrels for... forever, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I'm not sure.
No, it's really where it gets me is if I'd like someone said like here's a sandwich and it's rye bread.
I see.
That's where I get in trouble. The wife tried to kill me recently.
Gotcha.
She bought the Dave's bread or whatever, the organic bread.
I remember saying that.
And it was a white bread and there's like no seeds at all in it. And so I ate it and like I was at the dinner table and all of a sudden like my throat started closing up. I started, like I was like, what the hell's going on? And my daughter's like, is there rye in that bread? And I remember my wife saying, no, it's just white bread. And my mother-in-law went and looked at the package and she's like, it's got rye flour in it. And I hadn't had a reaction to rye in years. And yeah, it got me good. I took some Benadryl and I was fine.
I was about to say, either way, you guys got Benadryl.
I'm pretty sure. I do. Yeah.
Good.
Let's say I have some at the back of the hotel.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I have some in my office because Ian got stung by a bee one time
was
his whole arm was starting to swell up. And I was like,
I'm going to
make a run to the grocery store real quick and just grab some stuff just in case. And so I've still got it. So
if you need it, just in case. All right. So, Brandon, to end the show here, first of all, I want to thank Chris again and thank B52 Brewing for having us. Everything in the lineup that we had was amazing.
Yeah. Super cool.
I mean, this is definitely 8 for 8.
It's hard for me to pick the favorite. I know I kept saying the Galaxy. That last one was really good, too. Man, that's hard.
I'm glad that you're going back to the favorites because I have two in mind that I'm just like so stoked.
All right, so I'm going to go 2 tied. Galaxy and the last one that we just had, Tart After Dark.
Nice.
All right. So what do you got, Josh?
I mean, the Galaxy was on point, but I'm actually going to have to go with that peanut butter jelly.
Wow. Nice. The Beer Dad didn't pick peanut butter and jelly.
And he did.
And the Brood Man did.
Because, I mean, that plum addition, I think, just completely
nice.
Completely changed cool. the characteristic of it. And it was like, that is a really good combination.
Cool.
So, you know, really good job with that one.
I know what it is. It's all those peanut butter and jelly beers I always get hold of.
Yeah.
It's starting to wear
it's
on
growing
you.
On you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, but that's the thing is most of them use like raspberry and strawberry. And it's like, I'm not a big fan of like tart sweetness. I do love like sucrose sweetness. That's like one of my favorite types of like berry sweetness, and plums have that in spades. So
right.
Awesome.
Makes sense.
Okay, good. What about you, Brandon?
Hands down, there's a tie between Wheeze the Juice and Tart After Dark.
Nice.
Those are my
cool.
two favorites.
Awesome. Wheeze coming
those
in.
Those are my two favorites.
Hell Wheeze yeah. the Juice.
That's yes. for sure. I'm a Citra head though. Everybody knows that.
I feel like we need Pauly Shore on the show now.
You'll like it even more when you see the label, for sure.
Yeah.
Ow!
Yeah. It's awesome.
All right, Chris, what about you? This is the brewery you work at, and I know that you partake.
After drinking
what are your favorites
right
of this lineup? Two, pick two.
I'll have to go with Galaxy.
Okay.
And probably Smoothie Tart.
Nice.
The grapefruit mango tea.
That one was crazy.
Yeah.
It really was. There was so much going on, like so much flavor. Like it just, for somebody that doesn't like beer and you brought them and said, here, try this, they're going to be like, wow, what the hell's going on here? There's so much flavor.
I'd say that one's probably a close runner up for me because that one came out pretty good.
I like it because it's totally unique. Like it's different than pretty much everything I've had.
It was hard
before,
to pick.
So.
Well, it was like with just
it is hard
it's
to
almost
pick.
Like you get the Michelada in the glass without having to do all the work.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, boom.
You definitely did a good job picking it, though.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, as a brewer, that's always kind of the fun with the flavors is like, how do I replicate this without necessarily playing cocktail, you know, barista or whatever, you know?
So, all right.
It's always fun.
Brandon, what did you surprise us with? Or something for Chris that... He probably may get his hands on from time to time, but we already know that
so
this is not easy.
So that's kind of what I wanted to do. I brought some stuff from home that I figured, you know, not a lot of the folks around here would be able to get a hold of. So got some Bottle Logic, and this is a 2019 bottle of Dark Star November, which is their essentially is their like flagship barrel age Stasis beer. So Stasis is their program that it's all their barrel aged beers, or I should say barrel aged stouts in particular. Shout out to my buddy Martin who works over at Bottle Logic. So thanks, dude, for
thanks for the hook.
Always being the homie.
Yeah. And, also, Bottle Logic is available at the Craft Lounge.
Always available at the Craft Lounge. Either we have a
on
multitude
tap
of Bottle Logic beers on tap, or a ton of Stasis beers in the cooler, cans, a lot of special releases, stuff that a lot of people don't get. So,
and hopefully soon some B-52. We'll just get tell Randon to drive the truck out there, drop off a couple kegs, bring some 4-packs out. We'll be good.
So right here we got Dark Star November Imperial Stout brewed with rye molasses and aged in bourbon barrels.
Oh boy.
Ready?
For everyone to
do
enjoy.
It.
Here
it
at B-52
Let's
in
celebrate.
Conroe, Texas. Fuck yeah.
Dude, Bottle Logic makes some outstanding stouts. Just
some of the best in the game for sure.
Exactly.
All around they're fantastic, man. We've had
you gave it.
Yeah.
I figure it'll
over. What's
every style.
Brandon, what's your favorite from Bottle Logic as far as like, you know, I know they do a lot
of
continuing series and
you know, I would have to say the Stasis, this
one.
A specific line. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just rattle off three of my favorite that they released last year. I'd have to say they did this one called Cryopreservation, and it's a pistachio ice cream barrel-aged stout that was insane. And then also second to that was Voltaic Stack, was like a banana pancake stout, which is nuts. And then first, and definitely not least, was the collab they did with Great Notion.
That's the one.
Paisley Cave Complex, the... Yeah. Blueberry s'more stout. So I love their stuff. It's awesome.
He's all good to go.
Oh yeah.
Is it there for you with you guys?
Oh, sweet. Thanks. Okay. So. Wow. There, Chris brought over. There he is.
Is that the weed?
Ow!
Oh, sick, dude.
The weasel. Cool.
If we didn't drink all these beers right now, I would shotgun that.
It's got Pauly Shore on there.
We're going through these.
That's dope. That's really dope. Who drew that? Did you draw that?
No. I can't take any credit for that label at all, pretty much. That was pretty much created before I got here.
Okay.
So that's been on the label since, I think, 2017, 2018, something like that. And we just took the image and, like, you know, made it consistent with the labels that we have now. So it's a screen grab from the movie, but it has a filter on it. Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That was a great movie. Like, I think when it came out, it did really horrible at the box office, but it just became like one of those cult type movies, you know, like everybody loves it. You know, everyone, Brandon Fraser, that was like his breakout film where he became very popular. And of course, Pauly Shore, amazing. Everybody knows, like, all of those 90s movies he was in were great.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Biodome, remember that one?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Son-in-law or whatever.
That's the one, Son-in-law.
Son-in-law is dope. I love that movie.
That one.
Inbreeders. The first time my wife took me to a grandpa's property in Zinc, Arkansas, which is in a little holler in Arkansas, I think I said that line probably 400 times, like, in that. And she's like, "You're gonna offend somebody."
I'm surprised you didn't get shot. Honestly, dude.
Let me tell you something. There were dudes standing on their porch in bib overalls with a big old hog sitting on the porch with them. I mean, it really was like I was in Deliverance. I'm no joke. Craig will tell you, he's been there many times. It's a little different environment down there in the holler.
Is that more Ozark territory?
It's in the Ozarks. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's all you got to say.
Yeah. Dudes, what do you think about this beer?
I'll tell you right now. I'm telling you.
Phenomenal.
Because I would have to say, because we have the 2020 version at the shop now.
Yeah.
And I would have to say that, you know, you get more barrel characteristics, the newer version, but in this one definitely has kind of fallen out a bit, but you get a little bit more of like that molasses character.
Yeah.
It's a little sweeter. Yeah. And,
we even get a little star anise.
A little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely licorice. Yeah. For sure.
But it definitely mellowed out because I had this, the 2019, when it was still kind of fresh.
Right.
And the barrel character was more intense than this is. Mm-hmm. Like, this one's definitely
subdued a little bit.
Yeah, sweetened up a little bit.
In fact, actually, this ended up fucking
Mr. Craig likes it. Look at him. No, he's a big barrel-aged stout guy.
It's very good.
Actually, last time I had this, it ended up, like, twisting my stomach after a heavy night of drinking. But I finished with this beer. And
That's usually what we do.
Yeah, it's not a finisher.
No. Yeah, this is the one you probably just kind of, like,
definitely something to be sipped on, for sure.
Yeah.
And shared. With good friends.
Oh, yeah, definitely shared.
Of course.
In the city of Conroe.
In the city of Conroe, baby.
There you go.
Never in a million years would I thought that we would be in Conroe, Texas, but here we are.
I didn't think I was ever going to be in Texas, period.
I actually like it here. Like,
not saying, I've always wanted to visit Houston.
You know, I'm sure it's got its nice parts, but right there by the airport was definitely just, it's all industrial and nothing pretty. But
Houston is,
45 minute drive, and all of a sudden I'm like, we're in a totally different,
we're definitely not in Houston. Like, we're the Lake Conroe is right, you know,
right down the street,
right down the street from us. We're definitely in more of like the visually pleasing area of Houston. Totally.
See that?
Yeah, when we're driving in here,
woodsy.
You're saying like woodlands?
Yeah,
like,
woodlands.
I was like, man, this is my kind of gig. Yeah, definitely. I love this kind of environment.
It actually does remind me of like where Craig's from. They're in Branson, you know, with all the tree, like you're in the forest here.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's not a concrete jungle or anything like that. So definitely, for those of you guys listening to the show and you come to the Houston area, it's worth the drive. It really wasn't that bad. We thought it was going to be an hour. It was about 45 minutes. Yeah. And we stopped and dropped what did the itinerary say? Toss the luggage into the hotel.
Yeah.
We just showed up, threw it in there, and then off we came.
Yeah.
It was like 45 minutes. It really wasn't that bad. Yeah. Traffic was there, but we jumped in that carpool lane and
nice.
We were.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So,
take advantage of that for sure.
Yeah. And then when we got here, like, just the scenery, man, you guys have such a beautiful brewery. Like, this is really cool.
Thank you very much.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I just want to go outside.
We put a
drink some beer under the lights, man.
I know. We put a lot of work into keeping it nice too, because like, I mean, the forest will take over. Yes. For sure.
Do you guys ever do like the movie nights, get like one of those inflatable screens? Not yet.
Not at the moment.
No.
But okay. I'm kind of looking at it. So
yeah.
So it's a possibility.
So there's a brewery up in Springfield, up where they're from, about an hour north of Branson. It's Mother's Brewing. I don't know if you've ever heard of
yeah,
them.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of them.
And they're kind of a destination brewery, nowhere near like the setup here, but it's an old Wonder Bread factory, and it's on a little bit of property, and they've got like kind of a park associated to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that. They'll do movie nights, so you can bring the kids, watch a movie, and drink beer, and they'll have, you know, a food That's truck cool. there. You know, pretty cool, because you definitely have the space here for it, for sure.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, just a beautiful brewery. So you guys are doing a great job here, and definitely this won't be the last time that we come, for sure.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely want to come back and visit.
We might have to come here and brew and with Ian.
Please do.
Yeah, for sure.
Please, yeah. Give him a hard time, you know. Just be breathing down his neck the whole time.
Yeah, I'm not even sure where we would start though, man. He's pulling some bangers out here.
Good stuff, man.
Definitely show us a thing or two.
absolutely great. Well, Chris, this has been awesome. Like, thank you so much for the hospitality. Again, amazing brewery. The beers were amazing. Yeah. You know, I didn't have a bad one, so you did a good job picking from the tap list.
Oh, thanks. Sure. Thanks.
I trusted you. I figured you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
But definitely, listeners, check out B52 Brewing here in Conroe, Texas. What's the address here? Because I'm not going to know the address.
12470 Milroy Lane, Conroe, Texas.
Milroy Lane. Yep. So here's what I can tell you. You get off the 45, which is the main freeway, right? North or south?
The 45. I noticed that.
You hear that? That's the SoCal thing. Everybody in SoCal talks like
man.
That.
Yeah.
You pull that out. So get off the 45, and you're gonna come cruise over here west on what's that main drag right there?
105.
Yeah. And what's really cool is we're following the GPS, and we're like, "Where's the street?" And then there's actual signs.
Yeah,
B52 Brewing.
Exactly. Yes.
Then there's this little sign that says "Brewery Left Turn."
Exactly.
Like you can't, you'll find it. I promise. And trust me when I say, when you do find it, you're gonna be like, "Wow, the Beer Dad and Brew Podcast was on the money on this place." Yeah, you're gonna
Thank
love this
you
place.
Very much.
Yeah. This is so cool. This brewery is really, really great. So.
Hey, glad to have you guys. Like, I love what you guys are doing. So keep it up.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, keep making awesome beer. We definitely have something to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, thank you. And again, check out B52 Brewing. Here, Conroe, Texas.
Yeah.
Thanks. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
They also practice by drinking the urine of a ram.
The what?
They drink ram's piss.
Because of the pH balance?
No, because if you can drink ram's piss, fuck, you can drink almost anything.
She said fuck.
Is the malted liquor what gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it,
beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse
beer.
I could really use a beer.
Beer, beer,
beer, beer, beer, beer, beer, beer.
I can't remember how much I have had. I drank a 12-pack with my dad.